Good morning. It's very nice to see everyone this morning. And if we could open up the Word of God in the book of 2 Timothy. There's a number of things that have come to my mind lately with regard to just the time of life that myself and my wife, we are personally in, just in conjunction with how our children are moving on into different things, and how in between it's been Mother's Day, and now coming up will be Father's Day. And thinking about what's important, and I was thinking about the crowd here at 16th, and asking the Lord what message could be given at this particular time, in conjunction with this wonderful breaking of bread. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really appreciated all the thoughts given, and it caused my heart to rejoice and worship in a personal way, and also in a public way. But in thinking about us, how what's important, and I look around and I see 16th McDonald's is a very diverse assembly now, with a lot of people that come from different places, and that's a wonderful testimony to what the Lord has been doing here in this area. But I look at, and I see parents, and I see different people in different stages of life. And I hope that what we have to say today will apply to you. So from the perspective of, that I'm coming from, is that I'm solidly in middle age. I'm solidly there. And my oldest son finished university. My daughter is graduating from high school, and then my son in the middle, he's in the middle of university. So they all have their different things that they're involved in, and I've been thinking, how is it that as a parent, and in between Mother's and Father's Day, and thinking, how can I influence my family? And I think each and every one of us can identify somewhere in there. Whether it's you're older and you have younger, you have maybe children and grandchildren, and then maybe a little bit more relevant to where I'm at, where I still have three children at home, but they're starting to spread their wings. And I was thinking, if we were going to title this, I would put a title on this, is "Don't Be Afraid to Live for the Lord Jesus Christ." Don't be afraid. And how can you and I, as parents, as grandparents, as maybe if you don't have children, as a friend to young people, as a mentor, as someone who encourages a young person, how can you help them live for the Lord Jesus? Now, one of the things that's very important are for anybody, are words that will affirm that individual. Now, this was born out many, many years ago with my little daughter. I remember she was sitting in the seat, and she was already able to come up front, but she was young. And I looked over at her, I said, "Julianne, you know," and I started telling her all the things I loved about her. I loved the way she laughed, how pretty she was. I loved, and I listed all the different things that I loved about her. You know, there was a moment that she's kind of looking at me and kind of thinking, this is very strange, but it turned into this beautiful little smile, and you could just see that I was building into her self-esteem, into who she was as a young lady. And that's such an important thing, isn't it? Now, let's take a look at 2 Timothy and maybe apply some of these principles. This is Paul writing to and he mentions, he calls him his beloved child in verse 2. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And it says, Paul, an apostle, verse 1, of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And so as we take these two verses, as Paul speaks to Timothy, right away you can hear the loving tenderness that is in his words. He's saying, my beloved child, my beloved child. And so we understand that there was a very special relationship, there was a spiritual relationship, even though he was not his biological father, there was a father-son relationship here. And so what we see in Timothy is a real young man who Paul wanted to really build into him. And then he says to him, I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. We'll pause there and just address these verses in the time that we have. Now, what we have here is that we do see that Timothy was a young man that at some point had fears. Now, Brother Trevor mentioned it, and without even thinking about that, you know, as soon as you mentioned it, I thought, oh, this is interesting. He mentioned one of the great fears that we have is death. And so I don't know what fears. There were obviously probably might be that, but there were probably other fears that he had. He was probably a timid personality. And something that some people suffer a little bit more than others. And it totally depends upon your personality. It doesn't mean you're better or worse. It's just who you are. But this is who Timothy was. And so he's coming to him and he says to him some things that are very, very important. Now, first of all, how did he first of all encourage Timothy? What we see here in verse 3, he says to him, very clearly wants him to know that he is prayed for, that he's prayed for. One of the ways that you can encourage someone that is in your life, a younger person or a child or a grandchild or even a friend, a young friend, or even someone who maybe looks up to you in a spiritual way, how would you, you know, one of the things that really blesses people is when you say, I am praying for you. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, the casual comment that we say to one another, hey, oh yeah, I'll pray for you. And then we never pray for the person. I'm talking about when you and I listen to someone and as they maybe pour out their heart, as maybe they have, it could be a young person who's facing a test and they want to further their academic career, or they as they get out of high school. The other day, my daughter, she wrote us and says she got a very good mark on her provincial exam in English, and she was so excited about it. She texted us right away, and right away, you know, words of affirmation come. We're proud of you. We you know, and these are things that we've prayed for, and we let them know we pray for that. One of the things that Paul says here, I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. And I encourage you to engage in active prayer for those individuals that God has placed in your life. Obviously, your children, or a family member, or, you know, it could be a nephew, a niece, it could be your neighbor, it could be someone that comes along and you can pray for them. Maybe it's someone here within the context of the 16th Avenue that God has placed on your heart, and you take the time and you pray for them. It's important for us to understand that. Praying is essential. If we could just maybe take a look at the book of Ephesians, Paul also talks about prayer there as well. In Ephesians, take a quick peek at Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says there where Paul is praying for the Ephesian believers and those that read this letter. From verses 17 to 19. We could start in 16. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, what I want to encourage you is as Paul prayed here, he prayed for specific things. Prayed for specific things. So how are you going to know what you need to pray for? Now, sometimes people don't open up, and so you have to just really send a very sort of general prayer towards them. But take the time, you know, talk with that individual, find out what are the needs that they have. As I talk with my children, there's a couple of things that as a parent you have an advantage. You observe them by the things they say and how they are living, and then you can pray for things that they say with regard to as you ask them questions, as you find out. Now, as all teenagers and young people, sometimes, especially with parents, they kind of put a little bit of resistance, and they don't want to tell you everything because, you know, they want to keep something private. But as a parent, you can discern, you can ask the Lord to give you that wisdom as you find out and as you pray into very specific things. That's what, as we just read in the book of Ephesians, and we don't have an opportunity to look at every little detail of that, but he wanted them to have an enlightened mind, a heart of understanding. And that's one of the things that we can encourage. We can let our children know, we can let our loved ones know, we can let that person that God has put into our sphere of influence, that we're praying for them, but on a very specific level, to encourage them and encourage their hearts. That's what God desires. And that's the privilege and responsibility that you and I have. Now, one of the things that we do know is that there are others that are praying for our children. Now, many, many years ago, when I was born, and that was a few years ago, I was born in Chile, in South America. And my father and mother were missionaries, and it was a Sunday evening, and we used to have in the central square of the city called La Plaza, we used to have an open-air meeting before the gospel meeting. And so Dad and another brother, John Shaw, who was a missionary there, they were in the plaza preaching the gospel with all the brethren and sisters from the assembly there, and it was about 6:30 in the evening. And our home is about a block and a half from the plaza, and someone came, grabbed my dad, and said, "Your wife is just about to give birth." And so Dad went, and I was born that evening. Now, the reason I tell you that is because John, the fellow missionary, was a single man at the time. Then he married, but they never had children. But one of the things he did was that he prayed every day for myself, my sisters. When he died, I was saddened because I knew that I wasn't going to be prayed for the same way. But he'd pray. And he's prayed, and those prayers resound in eternity. The value of the prayer is greater than we even know or understand. Take time to pray. Be specific. Find out what that individual wants. You know, because we do not know who is praying for us. Now listen to what, you don't have to turn there. We listen to what Hebrews 7 and 25 says. It says, consequently, he is able to save, talking about God, to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. Listen to this. Since the Lord Jesus Christ, he always lives to what? To make intercession for them. That means that the Lord himself is involved in that. Wonderful truth. That we are prayed for. John 17 tells us that, right? The Lord Jesus Christ with that priestly prayer. He prayed for himself, prayed for his disciples. In the third section, he prayed for those who are going to believe. That's you and me. So you and I have that wonderful privilege and legacy that God is interested in us. The second point I want to make, second point I want to make is just what we see in verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6, we see how it's interesting how the Apostle Paul, he says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. He says to him, you have people that are invested in you. So not only can we help a younger person or someone that we know to pray for them, but we also can invest in them and help them to become prepared in life, prepared to serve, prepared to be that young person that they need to be. I was reminded yesterday with my son Tyler. He says, Dad, I got to get up in the morning real early. I had to go, and so I had to drive him somewhere and to get his car. And it was quite early. And I was thinking, Saturday morning, man, I don't want to get up this early. But I said, well, what do you do? I've got to go to Chilliwack, he says, because I'm participating at a youth conference and I'm going to speak on a panel about having Bible studies in high school. I'll tell you, you know, I was so excited. I don't think I slept very well because I was so excited that he was doing something like that. Now, how did that happen? That didn't happen all of a sudden. You know, my wife and I have taken time to invest into that part of their life, service, knowing what's important. Now, believe me, he's not perfect. and this is just something, you know, that he's done, and it's exciting. There's still lots of work to do, but how do we do it? We prepare our loved ones, our young people, and I always love coming here to 16 to hear about the Christian training classes, because that's part of what you're doing. You're investing into that. Now, you know, thinking of Mother's Day, thinking of Father's Day, but especially Mother's Day a few weeks ago, who were the people that invested into Timothy's life? His mother and his grandmother. Two women that took the time to invest and show him the ropes, as we say it in English, show him the way of faith. How do we see faith lived out and practiced out? We see it by the way that our the people that we love and trust and observe and our spiritual influences in our life, how they put their faith in God. We can read about it. We can, you know, and be amazed about it. But really, when we see it lived out, and a person says, I will trust God in this. And then you see them. You don't see them worrying and fretting and getting angry and shaking their fist at God or walking away from the things of God. But faithful through those moments. That's what we see here. And it's important that we help them understand. Romans 8 and 28 gives us a glimpse into this as well. You don't need to turn there. I'll just read it briefly. And it says there, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. In other words, as we prepare, we can say God works together all these things. But what's important is that we practice and live out the life of faith. That's exactly what Lois and Eunice did for Timothy. And Paul observed that and said, I know that that dwells in you as well. And then finally, and time is up, but I wanted to say that here, what do we see here at the very end in verse? We should just observe verse 6. It says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. What he said, he recognized. And so you and I have also that responsibility, not only to pray, not only to invest into that person's life spiritually, guiding them, but also recognizing the spiritual gift that God has given to them. And it says to fan into flame, to take that moment and recognize. I don't know if I've probably told you this before. My dad attended here many, many years ago. My father's gone to be with the Lord. But he attended 16th when he was a young man. And I guess he was preaching one day, or he'd been asked to preach it. And I am going to say I think it might have been Harold Budd's dad. I'm not sure. Could have been. It could have been. I'm not who. Someone said, but came up to him and said, look, you've got some gift. He says, build into that. That was the thing that pushed him to become a missionary and a preacher and a servant of God. Right here. What that person did was they told him, you got a gift. They gave a little fan. They gave him an opportunity, and he grew into what he's left today. A wonderful truth that is something that works. And then verse 7 says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Those three things. He says that we are empowered to live for the Lord. And how do we do that? Well, that we make sure that we don't let the fears of this world and this life consume us. Don't let them consume you. You know, yes, we all struggle with health and things like that, but don't let it consume you. We take care of it. We go to the doctor. If you're sick, go to the doctor. But don't let it consume you. I've seen a lot of hypochondriacs, and they don't trust God for their health. And it says here, it says, but of power and love and self-control. These three things that are highly important. But realizing that the power of God is available right now, at any time. So let's do these things for others. Let's pray for them. Let's invest in them. Let's help them get prepared. And let's help them realize what gift they have and how they can develop. so that God will be glorified and Christ will be exalted through their lives every day. And that they can look back and not that they give another person the glory. The glory goes to God. But that God used that individual as a tool, as a vehicle to where they could grow and become the young man, the young woman who God intended them to be. What a wonderful truth we can learn from this portion in 2 Timothy. May God bless his word. Should I pray? Lord, we thank you for these moments that we've been together as we enjoy each other's fellowship and friendship through the coffee time now. And Lord, thank you for each one that's here. We bless you for the goodness of God in our lives. We thank you for a beautiful spring day. We can appreciate your life and your creation and the renewal of things. And we thank you that everything reflects your glory and your goodness to us. Thank you, Father, for that. We praise you for your goodness. And we think of this young man, Timothy. And Lord, help us to identify the Timothys in our lives so that we can invest into them and help them and cause them to become the person that God intended them to be. Lord, help us, we pray. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the gift of salvation. And we ask that you would be with us the rest of this day. In Jesus' precious name, amen.